People will need to get back to paying their mortgage sometime. I'm David Brancaccio. Something that will ramp down and phase out as businesses reopen amid more vaccinations, mortgage forbearance. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the federal agency, records that early this year, about 2.7 million people were still in programs that put mortgage payments on hold during the pandemic. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
The CFPB is warning mortgage servicers to get ready for what it calls a tidal wave of distressed homeowners when forbearance starts to expire in June. Meg Burns is with the Housing Policy Council, an industry group, and says homeowners are in better shape than they were in the last economic crisis.
They have more equity in their properties. They are receiving assistance very quickly. And I think that we expect to see fewer foreclosures as a result of it.
Also, the programs to help people who miss payments are better this time around, says Mike Calhoun, who runs the Center for Responsible Lending.
The good news is that those payments are generally added simply to the end of the loan with no additional fees or interest.
Calhoun says this CFPB guidance also signals that the agency will take a more active role in consumer protection moving forward. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Markets are closed in Europe and beyond for Easter Monday here. Wall Street is at it, with the S&P future up 0.6% now. The 10-year interest rate starts the week at 1.68%. The trial of the police officer accused of killing George Floyd continues in Minneapolis. In the 10 months or so that's followed Floyd's death, billions of dollars were donated to social justice groups. Marketplace's Erica Barris has an update.
This infusion of cash for social justice is unprecedented. Una Osili, a professor of economics and philanthropic studies at Indiana University, says anything in the bank is unusual for many of these groups.
These organizations were already doing the work around racial equity and social justice. They just weren't necessarily being funded to do it.
According to Candid, an organization that tracks the nonprofit sector, $12.6 billion were raised for racial equity groups last year. Jacob Harold with Candid says some of that money went towards organizing protests over the summer, paying bail for demonstrators, and on Get Out the Vote campaigns in the fall. But Harold says these groups still face a big decision.
Will these organizations pour all of their resources, these new resources, into this unique moment? Or will they try to stretch them out?
Not knowing if the scale and pace of giving in 2020 will be sustained makes planning risky. Melissa Berman is president of Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors.
Having the money go out the door immediately is not necessarily a good thing when you're dealing with a very complicated issue that really involves a lot of deeply entrenched systems.
Reconciliation and racial equity are goals that stretch over generations, even centuries. And yet, Berman says, something else this money has brought these groups is time.
So being able to think past the next fundraising cycle is a remarkable gift that lets the organization put so much more of its time into the program that they're and the goals they're trying to achieve.
But for these organizations, deciding where and when to allocate resources is sometimes difficult. This past year, waves of giving have followed crises.
Unfortunately, crises keep recurring. So there's a lot of attention now to creating funds to support the Asian American community as we recognize how bad the violence is directed toward Asian Americans, especially women.
Candid, the nonprofit tracker, says in the little over 2 weeks since the shooting in the Atlanta area that killed 8 people, 6 of them women of Asian descent, more than $32 million have been raised for Asian American and Pacific Islander groups. That's more than half of what was raised for those groups in all of last year. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Later today, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson will ease more lockdown restrictions over there. Stores that had been seen as non-essential will reopen starting in a week, while pubs and restaurants can start serving outdoors. Johnson will also address plans for a coronavirus vaccine passport, something considered more controversial in the US, And a traffic light metaphor is in the works to grade COVID risk internationally. The BBC's Caroline Davis has more on that.
People coming to the UK from designated green countries won't need to quarantine, although they'll still have to take a test before travelling, and at least one more when they arrive. Passengers arriving from amber countries will have to take the same tests and quarantine at home on arrival for 10 days. Although if they pay for an extra test on the fifth day and it's negative, they can leave quarantine early. In line with current regulations, only UK residents will be allowed in from countries on the red list, and they'll have to quarantine in a designated hotel. There are still some unanswered questions. There's no guarantee that international travel will restart on the 17th of May. This date could be pushed back. It's not confirmed which countries will be on the green list, and it's still unclear exactly how a country's position in the traffic light system will be determined.
Caroline Davis reports for the BBC. And will people ever go out to the movies again?
We need Kong. The world needs him to stop what's coming.
Why, yes, Godzilla vs. Kong made more than $32 million in the U.S. on Friday, Saturday, and yesterday. It opened Friday in 3,000 U.S. theaters, the biggest opening of any movie since pandemic. It's brought in $285 million when you do the movie's numbers worldwide. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.